if you were new today and you saw all the announcements, we do a lot of food stuff, don't we? Valentine's brunch, there's spaghetti, there's candy. And so if you don't happen to, you know, if the candy doesn't happen to fit in an egg, we'll find a place for it to go. Hey, don't judge me. I know you all have a sweet tooth just like I do. I know you do. I know you do. Well, today is Super Bowl Sunday, so let me hear Chiefs fans. Let me hear Eagles fans. Woo! Yeah. How many don't care? I love to ask that. All right. Well, yeah, who cares, right? Who cares? Well, if you haven't been with us for a few weeks, we've begun a year-long theme for 2025 about relationships. Relationships. God is passionate about his relationship with you and me. Let me rewind that. God is passionate about his relationship with you and me. He is so passionate about us that he sent his son to die for us. He doesn't tolerate rivals. He wants exclusive devotion from you and me. So it's in this backdrop of about relationship with you and me, about this relationships, that I want to continue a three-part series on our relationship with money. How many know we have a relationship with money? Some believe it's taboo to talk about. But it's something that we interact with every day. There's confusion, there's misunderstanding, and there's a lack of knowledge, and the shortage of money can cause us stress, can cause fights with our spouse, can put us in a really, really bad mood. We can mishandle it, we can squander it, and even throw it away. We can be greedy with it and selfish with it and believe that it's all ours. Last week, we talked about a heart moved by God. A heart moved by God. There are some verses, there are more verses on money than prayer and faith combined. Jesus spoke more about money than he did heaven or hell. Jesus understood the Old Testament law, right? But he raises the bar. In the Old Testament, one of the Ten Commandments was, do not murder. And Jesus said, that is true. The New Testament, I say, do not hate. He raises the bar. The Old Testament says, do not commit adultery. Jesus says, do not even lust. He raises the bar. A heart that's moved by God, a heart that is touched by God, is generous, and it starts with the tithe. A tithe means a tenth, and it's giving the first tithe to the Lord. The first tenth is holy. It's set apart to the Lord. We're just returning to him what already belongs to him. And nobody in this church is forced to give. Last week we had God's table on this side, if you remember, and we had our table on this side. And we brought in all these fruits and vegetables as an illustration. God gives us 10 pineapples, and we give the first one to God, and he lets us keep the other 9 pineapples. God gives us 10 bags of apples. We take the first one and we give it to the Lord. And then he gives us the rest, 9. And if you were here, you saw this little table over here and it had 8 different fruits and vegetables on it. It wasn't very full. But this one over here was mounted high. In fact, there was some on the floor. We give God the first. He lets us have the rest, the 9. Dave Ramsey says, if you can't live on 90%, you can't live on 100%. It doesn't require a miracle for you to get through the month. You see, tithing is really a heart issue. And we talked about this last week. Giving a tenth becomes a heart issue. Pastor Adrian Rogers says this, give God what's right, not what's left. A heart moved by God wants to give, and it begins with the tithe. You see, the tithe doesn't go to me or to the staff, but to the Lord. In fact, I don't even handle the money in any way. I don't count the tithes. I don't count the offerings. I don't even write any church checks. We have a good system in place because we know that this is the Lord's money We want to be good stewards of it. So last week, Becky, on her way out, shared a brief testimony of prayer. And so I'm going to ask Becky to come and share a quick testimony. I've given her 3 minutes. So, so countdown begins. You get this one done?
There we go. I probably don't even need this. Good morning, everybody. Yes, I shared last week. I come up forward and I ask for prayer. I was short. I was going to be short this month, approximately $300. And I always tithe. When I was younger, there was 1 week I didn't tithe, and I didn't make things, ends didn't meet, and I had to borrow, and I hated it. And the next week, I double tithed because I made up for the week I left, you know. And back then, and I'm showing my age, I got paid every week. Now it's like every 2 weeks. But anyway, God has always provided for me. And anyway, I was praying, and then I shared with Pastor at the back. I said, you know, I already did my income tax, and it would really be nice. I says, I know God can do this. Even if the IRS doesn't do the paperwork, God can still put the money in my account. Well, I knew I had a check coming for my paycheck was on Thursday. I don't see what I get until Tuesday because I'm part-time. I don't remember how many hours I get. I got to work because we had a meeting, and I got a copy of my check. I'm going, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. It was over $150 higher than I expected. When I was looking at my bank app to see the balance, and I says, okay, no, I know I was about $300 short, and I started to laugh, and I called the pastor, and I says, ain't God good, because I got my federal return check in my account. I paid the last payment on a loan I've had, and of course, they raised the last part of it, so it was extra. I paid my loan off. I paid the water bill that had also gone up. The electric bill was really way high, and I paid all that. I also paid off, or not paid off, but part of a medical bill that I had to pay. And I still, before I even, when I saw that I got the check from the federal government, and I knew what I had for my paycheck, I already wrote my tithe check. That's the first thing that comes out. I write my check for the Lord because I don't want to be short. And God has proven himself over and over. I had to make a trip to Indiana to pick up a neighbor and come back. And in my tithe check, I already gave what she gave me. I added it to the check today.
Amen.
Because I'm not going to shortchange God, and he won't shortchange me.
Amen.
And God also asked me to share this.
Real quick.
About asking. A, ask, and you shall receive. S, for seek, and you will find. K, for know. Know.
Knock.
Knock, and the door will be open for you.
Amen.
God asks you to ask. And I will even challenge you, go ahead and tithe. If you make $1,000 a week, put that $100 away first to God. And he will show you that he is trustworthy of his word because he is his word. So trust and then expect to see God work
Amen.
For you.
Amen. Thank you, Becky. Awesome. Yeah, that's, God is faithful. God is so, so good. Becky put her tithe first, gave it to the Lord, and God responded to her faith. You can't deny that. You can't say, well, explain it away. It happened for her. It's real. A heart touched by God wants to build God's church to fuel the mission of His church, specifically Peace Chapel. And as we worship God, we ascribe worth to Him, right? We're saying, God, You're worth it. I worship and I love You. See, a heart that's moved by God gives generously, and it starts with the tithe. Over the years in ministry, let me just pause for a second. Julie is on the rebound, doing better as far as the shingles goes, and very minimal pain. We don't really know what to compare it to because we've never had it, but so she was just staying home again today just to make sure that she's getting better and the medicine and all that. So hopefully next week she'll be here. But thank you for your prayers for that and for her eye. And it's been kind of a rough road this first part of the year. So she's not forgotten. I know you guys love her. But over the years in ministry, Julie and I have been blessed by people's kindness financially. That people would hear from the Lord, and then God would speak to their hearts, and then they would put their trust in God by obeying and giving that gift. There have been times when we needed help loading or unloading a U-Haul truck, you know, moving to a new address. And again, people came to lend a hand and carry many boxes. Not with this, let's get this over with, but with a good attitude to help, to serve. We've had moments in ministry throughout the years when people came alongside us with such encouraging words, with a note and a phone call, a text message, and an arm around the shoulder saying, we're praying for you. Whether it's a financial gift, a lending a hand, or an encouraging word, every single time it overwhelms us. I think we've all been blessed by someone's kindness in our life. Family, friends, loved ones, even strangers who showed up for us in ways that was very meaningful to us. And it impacted our hearts. It changed the trajectory of our lives. Church family who came alongside us with an encouraging word, a helping hand, and a financial boost in a time of need. Not wanting the fanfare, not wanting this big old production, but just saying, hey, I'm praying for you. God told me to give this to you. God told me to tell you this. I mean, who does these things? Who does that, right? It's followers of Jesus, right? People who have hearts to help and hearts to give. People that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. People who understand that what they have all belongs to God. It's not just financial gifts, but when people give an uplifting word through a text, an email, a card, when they come alongside and they help with something, right? We sense their love. We sense that they're praying for us, that they're behind us, that they believe in us, and they could give a financial gift to, you know, a million other people, or send a reassuring word to someone else, or send, you know, spend their time elsewhere. But the Lord spoke to their heart, and they listened and they obeyed. And at times, we feel so undeserving, and their kindness towards us can be so overwhelming. Sometimes it's hard to receive a gift, right? Because there's a pride thing. We don't want to appear needy, but we all are. The title of my message in the series on our relationship with money is Over and Above Generosity. Over and above generosity. This morning I'm going to be using, again, some thoughts from a pastor in Minnesota, Rob Ketterling, pastor of River Valley Church. And today we're going to look at over and above generosity. It might not be stated enough, but generosity is a core value here at Peace Chapel. We serve a generous God. And when we serve a generous God, it's going to rub off on us, right? We're going to be generous. And that's who we want Peace Chapel to be, generous. When we talk about over and above generosity, it's over and above our tithe. We give our tithe, our tenth, 10% to the Lord first. And then because God is a generous God, we want to be generous as well. So we want to give over and above the tithe as the Lord leads us. What do we do to be generous? Well, with generosity, we start asking the questions. How much should I give over the tithe? Or better yet, how much can I give over the tithe? The tither starts saying things like, well, how much should I keep? Do I have enough margin in my life? How do I live on what's left, the 90%? These are the questions that we ask when it comes to generosity. This is where the real struggle begins, though. It's similar to the leap of faith when we begin to tithe to the Lord, when we worship God out of obedience and love by tithing. God, the first tenth belongs to you. I'm going to be a tither no matter what it takes. You know what? That can be a huge struggle for a lot of people. That can be, let's be honest. But then there's this similar struggle in giving over and above generosity. And just as tithing is a heart issue, generosity is a heart issue. It's having a heart of generosity. But again, some struggle with that. There's a thing called mammon that's tied to money. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and mammon. So this is the first time that the word mammon was used in the Bible. And we know that this is a Syrian word for riches and wealth and possessions, right? Mammon is described as the god, small g, the god of riches. Again, it's a broad word for all kinds of possessions, earnings, and materialism. And mammon can refer to anything in which we put our trust in, which is an idol, which is a false god, which can come between us and God. You notice in this verse, it's capitalized, right? In Scripture here, as being a personification of a god. Personification is giving human qualities to something inanimate. We can't serve two masters, God or mammon. We can't serve God and wealth and money and worldly riches and fame and possessions and status or whatever thing we put our trust in. There's a spirit of mammon in our society today. It's attaching itself to money, but it's not money. It's attaching itself to wealth or possessions. Money can do a lot of good things, and money can do bad things. Money itself is not evil. Money is amoral, right? It's neither good nor bad. But some believe that money is evil. If you have money, you're evil. If you have lots of money, you're super evil. But Scripture clearly says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. This is not my opinion. We're not going to any other source. We're going to God's Word. This is where we look to our answers. If it says it in here, we believe it. 1 Timothy 6 says this, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is not evil. It's the love of money that's evil. It's love of money that causes greed, that this craving for more. This love of money causes all kinds of trouble, causes bad things to happen, coveting more and more, right? We understand. We've all been there. And this spirit of mammon is powerful, and it wraps us up. Generosity is one of the ways that we can connect with God, that we have intimacy with God through giving and generosity. But mammon tries to block that generosity, tries to block that connection between us and God, that relationship that we have with the Father. I've asked Paul to help me this morning with an illustration to help us understand that, right? Mammon is right there in plain sight. It's kind of like this saran wrap, right? And it just kind of blends in with our existence, our lives, our daily lives, and we grab a hold of this spirit of mammon, and there's things in our lives that we say, oh, I've got to have this. All right, Paul, that's enough. I got to preach here.
I was going to go a little higher.
And it wraps us up. I've got to have this. I want that. And mammon starts coming around you, and it starts to get a hold of you. And before you know it, mammon has trapped you, and you're living like this. You're living bound. And mammon causes us to start saying, you know, I'd love to give, but I can't, right? Money is tight. I've got things. Mammon shouts, just in case, you know, you have a rainy day, you'll need your money later. Or don't give. Don't be generous. Somebody else can give. You can't do it. You've worked really hard for what you have. This is yours. You deserve this, right? You're keeping up with the Joneses. And what it does is it keeps us from being generous. It keeps us from being generous. And we don't realize it because it's just around us all the time. It's everywhere. It's subtle. Everybody's living with arms like this, constrained and limited, right? And God says, I don't want you to live that way. I don't want you to live this way. So how does God break the spirit of mammon on us? How does he do that? Well, we start tithing, and suddenly, right? Suddenly, one hand is free. Naturally, we're breaking free from mammon. We're not bound by, you know, anymore by our riches or our wealth or our possessions. It doesn't control us, but we still have one arm that's bound, that's bound. But when we start giving over and above with generosity, right, this hand now is free. Mark chapter 10, I'm going to put my readers on here, sorry, says this. Mark chapter 10, as he was starting out on a trip, a man came running up to Jesus. He knelt down and he asked, good teacher, what should I do to get eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. But as for your question, you know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not testify falsely, do not cheat, honor your father and mother. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was a child. And Jesus felt genuine love for this man as he looked at him. You lack only one thing, he told him. Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went sadly away because he had many possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how hard it is for rich people to get into the kingdom of God. You see, mammon is a stern master who holds its subjects firmly in its grip. And suddenly, mammon loses its hold on us when we begin to give. We have two hands free to tithe and to be generous. But we know that mammon is always lurking down at our feet. It's always around us. It just hangs out when we're clicking online and shopping on Amazon or at the store, and it's there when we're checking our stocks or when our neighbor gets a new car, right? It's just kind of hovering around our feet. One commentator said this, the slave of mammon will obey mammon while pretending to obey God. Many people think that they own their possessions, but Jesus shows that more often the possessions owns the person. People end up serving mammon rather than mammon serving them. And mammon tries to wrap itself back around us. We've got to break free saying, God, I desire to be free from all of it. I want to begin by being a tither, and then I want to be an over and above generous giver. I don't want that to hold me back. Over and above generosity, what does that look like? And as you become a tither, as you become generous, you're not living down here bound by mammon, right? Limited, selfish, and stingy, right? But you're living up here free to do what God wants you to do, for God to flow in and through you. And this generosity that says, God, what do you need me to do? How can I step in? There's a connection with Almighty God that happens inside you when you break the spirit of mammon. This over and above generosity is saying, God, I want to build your kingdom here, there, and everywhere. You saved me. You've changed my life. I want to live for your glory. I want to serve you. I don't want to serve the God of mammon. How can I use what I have for your glory and for your honor? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says this, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. Verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. I think some of you need to hear that. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. Verse 10, for God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will give you many opportunities to do good, and he will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give more generously. See, giving starts with the tithe in one hand, and then it's over and above generosity on the other hand. And they fuel and build the kingdom of God here, there, and everywhere. You pray, and whenever God speaks to you, you do that, right? It's practicing on this generosity journey. So here are some practical ways to give generously. You could help support 21 missionaries and missions organizations that we support here at Peace Chapel, praying for our missionaries and giving financially to them. Every month, $1,184 is sent out to our missionaries so that they can continue to do the work. That's $14,208 a year. You could help our kids with, it's called Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge, and this is a buddy barrel. And to help our missionaries worldwide, you just pop in some coins and it fills it up and they bring it in and it goes to our missionaries. It helps them. You could help our youth with Speed the Light to raise money for our missionary projects around the world, including essential resources, transportation, and creative communications equipment. And this is another way we can help our youth and our kids with missions. You could give generously to the ministries here at Peace Chapel. Peace Chapel Youth, led by Pastor Jackie, so that they can go to Breakaways, we saw the video. They can go to Momentum Youth Convention and so much more. Kids Central, led by Miss Elizabeth down below, helping with East Terrific Egg Hunt, right? If you haven't experienced that, it's going to be phenomenal this year. Once again, Kids Camp. We're praying and believing that we send kids to Kids Camp. It's been a long time. Trunk or Treat and more. We got to bring candy, right, for that, fill it up. I also just want to say a little side note. We've got some exciting news regarding the kids' ministry, so stay tuned. We're excited about that. Giving generously toward the ministries of small groups and discipleship and worship and creative arts and the audio and video ministry. There's a building fund that you can commit to give help to update and beautify our facility so that when guests come, there's a space for them and their kids and their teenagers as they feel welcome. You can give towards benevolence as we help those in real need. This past Christmas at Advent, we gave over $2,000 plus all the groceries and toiletries, if you remember, by the Christmas tree here that you brought in to help a local ministry help those who are down and out in our very own community. Hands on, it went right to them. Maybe you can give $5 a month, $15 a month, $25 a month towards our missionaries. Maybe you can give $100 a month, $5,000 toward a ministry or the building fund. You begin with tithing, that's 10%, that's the base, And then you increase your giving by giving 1% above that, just to see where that goes, what the Lord is saying to your heart. Maybe it's 5% over and above generosity towards a ministry of a missionary building fund, a ministry at the church, or a percent, you know, you just move up a percentage from there. What is God speaking to you about? Do that. If you've noticed, we have some white envelopes in the seat back in front of you. And the very first thing is tithes. That's first, that's foremost, that's number one. Second, these are considered offerings. So tithes is separate than offerings. They're not together, they're separate. Tithes, 10% goes to the Lord. Offerings now, given to missions, giving to a building fund, giving toward benevolence, giving toward other or a ministry. Those all fall under offerings that we bring and give to the Lord. There's a story of an American couple, Clive and Mary, who live in Kenya, and they ran a small orphanage. Their plan was to go there and to buy a house, turn it into an orphanage, so that's what they did. Years later, at an adoption ceremony, a man came up to Clive and he said, "You see that? That's my best friend. And he and his wife have wanted to have kids for so long. And they've never been able to. And you provided them with this little boy to adopt. So what can I do for you? What is your vision for this orphanage?" And Clive got excited and he runs into this little orphanage and he grabs a set of blueprints and he shows the man his vision to expand the orphanage, to expand it, to reach more kids. Well, the man tells Clive that he owns the largest construction company in Kenya. And he says, "I'm going to build your vision because of what you did for my friend." A couple of years later, okay, the same man comes back and asks Clive if he has a dream. And Clive says, "I want to have orphanages all across Kenya." And the man tells Clive, "I have 9 buildings that I'm not using right now. Pick 3. Have a plan on what you want to give to God and then work the plan. What has God placed in your hands already? You have a heartbeat. You have an income. What can you plan to give? You see, no matter if it's 5, 50, 500, or 5,000, it's different for all of us. Because I know you live with what's in your hand, but God's asking, will you live with what's in my hand? Will you live with what's in my hand? Would you have a vision for what you could give by faith? Pray about what you can give generously over and above the tithe. The tithe is the normal level. Generosity is going to the next level. And when it comes to what you're going to give, you see, it's you listening to the Lord. It's you deciding in your heart to give what God has spoken to you about. You don't have to give. You get to give. You don't have to give. You get to give. It's not giving reluctantly or under compulsion or under pressure, right? This isn't a Chicago mob movie where somebody's going to shake you down, right? No, that's not going to happen. God's word says to give cheerfully, a heart that's moved by God. God, I want to give to you. I can't wait to give to you. There's so much joy in my heart. God loves a cheerful giver because it shows that grace is at work in your life. It shows that you're looking more like your heavenly Father. But you know what? There's a disconnect if you're only worried about stuff and things and hoarding and mammon, right, has wrapped you up. How do you know when something owns you? I found a few indicators in studying this week, right? When something owns you, when you need that thing as a source of happiness in your life, when you can't imagine living without it, when you get angry or fearful at the thought of losing it, when it's the first thing you think about in the morning and the last thing you think about at night, when you talk about it in almost every conversation, something has owned you. It owns you, right? When you get upset if someone comes near it, when you schedule around it, when you enjoy that thing more than being with family and friends, when others warn you about your attachment to your possessions, when worries about it crowd out the joy in your life. But over and above generosity is having a heart like God's. Everybody can do something. It's not equal giving, but it's equal sacrifice. God wants to bless you, not so that you can hoard it for yourself, but to bless others by giving generously. I came across this thought that God says one thing and Mammon says another. God commands to walk by faith. Mammon says to walk by sight. One is to be humble, the other is to be proud. One is to set your affections on things above, and the other is to set them on things of this earth. One is to look at the things that are unseen and eternal, and the other is to look at things that are seen and temporal. One is to be anxious for nothing, the other is to be filled with anxiety. One is to be content with the things you have, the other is to desire more. One is to be ready to give, the other to withhold. One is to seek happiness in the Creator, the other is to seek happiness in the creature. You can't serve God and Mammon, Jesus said. You can't serve them both. Our relationship with money is saying, God, I'll start with the 10% and I'm going to go up from there. I'm believing you. I'm trusting you. I'll worship you with my tithe in obedience because I love you, God. I don't have to. The church isn't making me. Pastor Spence isn't forcing me. He's not calling me. Say, where's your tithe? I'm just going to give it because I trust you. Over and above generosity says, God, I want to fuel the mission because you've been so generous to me. God's kindness and his grace and his mercy and his love, guess what? They're overwhelming. His generosity is endless. But we're pretty familiar with the struggle at times in trusting God. We teeter, right, on the edge of pulling back our faith and trust in him because of fear on one side and letting go and falling into capable hands, God's hands, on the other side. Over and above generosity says, I desire to get involved, to fuel that missionary by giving sacrificially, to fuel the mission here at Peace Chapel by giving toward a ministry, the building fund, benevolence, whatever it is. A generous heart hears from the Lord and obeys cheerfully. A generous heart is blessed and blessed to be a blessing. How has God touched our hearts? How has God moved us? If he has, what is our relationship with money today? Are we holding on to it with closed fists in fear, or are we trusting God as we give generously over and above? And it's a step of obedience. It's a step of faith. It's a step of faith. Say, God, the first 10 is yours. I'm going to live on 90. I may have to make some adjustments, but God, I know you're going to honor my giving. A heart moved by God gives over and above generously. Let's pray.